Good morning, everybody. On this St. Stephen's Day, Sunday, and Feast of the Holy Family, it's a multi-celebration day. And you all win the prize for remembering that even though you went to Christmas Mass, today is still a holy day of obligation. You can tell there's a whole bunch of people who forgot. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who were pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life and in the bonds of charity. And so, in the joy of your house, delight one day in eternal rewards. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. So every Sunday that follows Christmas this year, right together, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, which is entirely fitting, right? Here we have this awesome creation of God that took a great deal of fidelity, some difficult yeses to God through the faith of Mary and Joseph. Dreams, angels, it's a brilliant story. And we celebrate it often as kind of upholding the perfect ideal of the human family, which it is in the sense that it reflects the Trinity, which a marriage and family ought to do, to reflect the Trinity in the sense of that unbreaking love, the continuing unity between the three that gives life, unity of love that gives life. And so that is the ideal image of the family, sacramental marriage. But we often get caught up, which makes it difficult for us, in the idea of Jesus and Mary and Joseph being for us the model of perfect human families. But really, when you think about it, how many of you are married to a woman like Mary who was immaculately conceived and is full of grace? Right? I mean, you may be married to a really awesome woman, but she's not Mary, right? And similarly, ladies, how many of you are married to the kind of righteous man that Joseph evidently was? Human, not full of grace like Mary, but still an amazing, extraordinary man of faith. Right, no hands are going up. As awesome as your husbands might be, they're not Joseph. And let's be honest, how many of you parents have children that are perfect like Jesus every day, right? Yeah. So it's not like we can aspire to that in real everyday life. Exactly. Right? We, because of the nature of sin and brokenness and the damage that that does through generations and cultures, and that we do not regularly receive the fullness of the grace that God has for us in the sacraments, we're just not saints from the get-go. We need to work toward that by the help of God. And so in the midst of that, our families are going to reflect our individual imperfections, weaknesses, and the things that we suffer because of the consequence of sin. That's the reality that we live with. That's what we know, and we don't have to pretend it's any other way. I've yet to meet a perfect family. We've all got issues, we've all got histories, and we've all got ways in which the Lord has healed us and brought us out of the darkness of our histories. But it's messy, right? Life and family is messy. Now, on the upside, we are children of God, and we are a people of faith who have access to the mercy and grace of God. We can be renewed in Christ, and we can, every day of our lives, become a greater reflection of the image and likeness of God that we are meant to be, but may be tarnished in us through life. We can become the saints we're called to be. Saints as husbands, as wives, as brothers, sisters, children, families. It can happen. And the readings today help us to see how that can happen. And it's simple. It's really just the Christian life, right? Think about this. Many of you may be encountering this in your lives as your parents get older. Take care of your father when he is old. Okay, we can all sign up for that, right? That's a nice, loving thing to do. Take care of your father when he's old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. A little more difficult. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Many families struggle with caring for older parents who have dementia, who have difficulties as they age. And in caring for them, many people have great difficulty and are burdened and brokenhearted by the lack of patience that they have sometimes, by the way in which they have outbursts toward them, the different things that come up. You know how it goes. And as that continues moment after moment or day after day and situation after situation, it can be really hard to do what the scripture is saying here. But really, isn't that what love is about? It's not so much that you don't have those moments of difficulty interiorly, but love and mercy in the heart of a child for their parent inspires the ability to go beyond what's natural to us and to be more like Christ in that moment. To do the more. Kind of like, you remember when before you had children, you thought to yourself, you know, you thought of certain ways about sleeping and certain ways about working, and you thought you were busy, and you couldn't have imagined watching other parents do what they do. You couldn't have imagined going without that kind of sleep. You couldn't imagine having a person barf all over your shoulder, or, you know, when you're changing diapers and the mess that happens. And then you become a parent, and aren't you amazed at the things that you're able to do, the depth of the love you're able to have for another human being that just moves you to bear up with those sleepless nights, those sicknesses, those heartbreaking moments when they fall down, right? You know what I'm talking about? That love just comes up. That is representative of the love of God for us. As he loves us in all our mess and the things we throw at him, so too he helps us to love and be merciful in our roles in life as mothers, as fathers, as children, brothers and sisters. And so that first reading really speaks to how we can, as family members, love each other and be merciful to each other beyond what's normal and comfortable and convenient and easy, but in that God-inspired, God-reflective way. And then in the second reading, going on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, be holy. You are beloved. Have heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. The Lord always in his word, as he encourages us toward really being like him in relationship, imaging the members of the Trinity, at the same time, he's always aware in his words to us that we have difficulty. And so the idea and the reality of forgiveness is always right there among those moments where he says, be awesome and be forgiving. Because we're not always going to be awesome in every moment in our relationships with each other. And if we are striving for that kind of love and mercy in our relationships, to be forgiving when it's really, really, really hard, whether, you know, someone did something their own fault, their own responsibility, or whether they did something that was hurtful, but it's not really their fault, you know, to be forgiving. Just as the Lord is forgiving to each one of us. Where would we be, each one of us, if the Lord was not willing to forgive us the messiness that we throw his way? And so he wants us, for when we're imperfect and our brokenness is causing rocky waves in the lives of others or damage, pain, woundedness, to be forgiving. Wise, but forgiving. Just as the Lord forgave us. And it says in that second reading, over all these, put on love, that is the bond of perfection. So all of it within love, it is the definition of love as a choice. I choose to love you in this moment, even though you're standing before me saying the most vile things. I will choose to love you. I will choose to forgive you. I will choose to be patient. I will not choose to accept unacceptable behavior. There will be consequences, just like the Lord says, I love you, I'll be merciful, I will fill you with grace. But if you sin, there are going to be consequences still, right? And so we have to always be willing to accept those consequences for our behavior, for the way in which we are not relating well in our families in particular, and of course, our other relationships. Put on love. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. So that peace, the Lord wants us not just, you know, happiness, comfort, all that kind of stuff, but really abiding deep peace that makes it so that, you know, when the apostles were in the boat and Jesus was having a nap up there and the storm is raging and they're like, ah! And he wakes up and he says, why are you freaking out? I'm right here. Have you forgotten, he says other times, have you forgotten what I've taught you? To be at peace, to cultivate that relationship with the Lord in such a way that we are really abiding, living in his peace, in a way that increasingly cannot be disturbed, which means that we will be more rational and more able to be loving and merciful, et cetera, patient, when the moments, the storms come. Whether that storm is, you know, your husband or your wife in your face, whether it's a teenager spewing words of the ways in which you're ruining their lives, no matter what, that abiding peace can help guide and direct how you respond and how those words can have less wounding effect. So cultivating that disposition of peace, living in relationship with the Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so then the word of Christ, these words that we're meditating on here, then dwell, make their home, root in you richly. You know, the parable of the seed falling on the earth and some blows away, some the birds eat, some the roots are just not very deep. But then there's that one, you know, that gets really rooted, really firm, and grows really well. That's what we're talking about here, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then in all wisdom, the wisdom of God, putting on the mind of Christ, you can teach and admonish one another. And you kind of wonder why this fits in here. Teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Well, the more we're able to live with each other in this way, particularly in our families, the domestic church, the house of prayer, when we're able to do that more, then we are more active in that spirit of joy and gratitude toward the Lord. And as that is more real, then we are more ready as a family, as individuals, to sing the praises of the Lord, to sing the songs of love and thanksgiving, even of lament, spiritual songs, hymns, all with this great gratitude reaching up. Gratitude that is also experienced because as we are experiencing this, not with a condescending attitude, but we see others in the world who don't know these truths and don't have immediate access to these graces being formed by God, such as we are allowing ourselves to be. And so we see the consequences of living a life and being a family apart from the graces and the blessings of God. And that makes us even more grateful, right? Because why do we say, but for the grace of God go I, right? And so we are even more thankful. Not that we want to denigrate the others, but that should actually move us to greater love and mercy toward them, wanting them to know this. It would be nice if we as Christians and Catholics were really kind of seizing hold of this so that we could say that in practice, the divorce rate is lower, that family abuse is lower, that every other kind of criminal abuse is lower. We can't, because we aren't fully grasping what God has made available to us as individuals, as husbands and wives, as families. We choose the more selfish road much too often, instead of submitting ourselves humbly to God first and foremost, and then to each other in the way in which God has ordained our relationships to be, and desires deeply to make possible for us. And so we celebrate the Holy Family for the great gift that it is. God blessed family, gave us an immediate reflection of the triune family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we reflect on the Holy Family today in light of our own difficulties, but mindful of what God wants to do for us in our families and how greater love and better families, stronger families, making a stronger world are possible in God. Amen.